Hi. Sorry to be slow to take the mic. I had several windows open. It took a bit of time to find this one. but hello and happy Sunday evening. I am going to open the 7 steps sharing with the song. This morning in the weekly gathering, I talked a little bit about where I am with the planning of the Italy pilgrimage. And I also, at the very end of my teaching this morning, mentioned why I thought Pompeii was important to visit. But I noticed that Jay typed on the board this morning that he wants to listen to that song while he is in Pompeii. And I believe this is the song he meant. The song is called Pompeii. And I'd like to listen to it too while I'm there. It's one of my favorite songs. So I thought we would just go ahead and listen to it now. So this is Pompeii by Bastille. I love that song when it says, you know, if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing's changed at all, right? It sounds like, you know, close your eyes and notice awareness is unaffected, right? Even with Mount Vesuvius blowing up and the lava destroying the city, close your eyes and awareness is completely unaffected. Yeah, it's a pretty amazing song. I love it. All right, so we're here for the 7 steps to awakening. And tonight I start with quote number 804. So this is the quote. Merely to trust is not enough. You must also desire. Without desire for freedom, of what use is the confidence that you can acquire freedom? Desire and confidence must go together. The stronger you desire, the easier comes the help. First of all, just from my own humble experience, I think that's a little bit of a funny quote. Of course, it's taken out of context here. We don't know the conversation. We don't know who he's talking to. But you know, he's talking about trusting, having the confidence that you can acquire freedom, but not having the desire for it. And my experience has been that more people feel like they have the desire for it, but they don't have the trust or the confidence that they can do it. So it's almost like this quote is kind of the opposite of what it seems like many people feel. You know, it seems like within us there's this idea that somehow I'm not good enough for awakening, right? And it seems like many, many people feel that. So the lack of confidence is there, even though the desire is there. And this quote is addressing the opposite, where the confidence is there, but the desire isn't. I personally haven't met anyone yet in that situation. Maybe someone listening is. But I haven't met someone who had the confidence that they could awaken, but did not have the desire to do so. But let's listen to the quote again. Merely to trust is not enough. You must also desire. Without desire for freedom, of what use is the confidence that you can acquire freedom? Desire and confidence must go together. The stronger your desire, the easier comes the help. So a strange image, which initially may appear unrelated to you, but then as I explain more, you'll see the relationship to the quote. But the image that came into my mind was a kid, you know, maybe, you know, 25, who has been raised very, very wealthy, always very, very wealthy. And he's sitting around with his friends drinking. And he's bragging about how, you know, if I wanted to, you know, I could, you know, whatever. I could start a company and it would be the most successful company in the world and I would be very rich. And he's just talking about all the things that he could do, you know, if he wanted to. But of course, he's just sitting there drinking. Kathy says playing video games. Yeah, that could be another image. You know, so he has the confidence that he could go out there and start a business and it would turn to gold, you know, just like his daddy's did. But he has no desire to do so. So even though he's sitting there bragging to his friends about how he could, he's not making any movement in that direction. Maybe you do see the relationship, you know. Again, I personally can't remember ever knowing anybody like this, but let's imagine that there is someone that we know, or maybe one of you all feel like this is you. You know, they just really, I could awaken, you know, I, but not taking any steps whatsoever in that direction. And so what this quote is saying is that the desire is important, right? Like if the young man in my image had a desire to go out and start a company, you know, and build something, well, then he probably could do it. He probably did learn from his daddy and from his education, you know, but without the desire to take those steps, without the desire to go out there and do that work, it's really nothing but a bunch of hot air over cocktails. So I'll read the quote one more time, and then we'll go and we'll look at my journal entries from, I think it's 2015 we're looking at. Merely to trust is not enough. You must also desire. Without desire for freedom, Of what use is the confidence that you can acquire freedom? Desire and confidence must go together. The stronger your desire, the easier comes the help, right? The stronger your desire, the more everything you need is going to find you. So let's look at the journal entry. I said, oh, by the way, this is from October 13th, 2015. I said that I could trust this world because it is an illusion. I can trust an illusion because it is made by desire. If my desire is off, the illusion will be off. If my desire is clear, centered on the purpose of awakening and unwavering, the illusions, gifts, and opportunities will be just as clear and focused. I can always trust the illusion to respond to my desire. Now, what's my desire? So, this is something that might not be immediately obvious to everyone, you know, the idea that I trust the illusion. But again, I trust the illusion because it is an illusion, because it responds to us, right? In conversations with God, if I'm remembering this correctly, in conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh was told to kind of see the universe as a Xerox machine, you know, whatever you ask for, it just gives it right back to you. It doesn't give you anything different than what you've asked for, ever. And I know a lot of people have trouble understanding that, but that's because we still don't have clarity on how we ask or what we're asking. But I do have some clarity on this. I have really contemplated this deeply. I've seen the effects of it in my own life. And I understand that this is how the universe works. And so because I see the universe in this way, I trust the universe. I trust the universe is always going to respond to me and to us in kind. Right? In kind. Just to give a current example, I don't go into Facebook much anymore, but yesterday, I can't remember where I was, but Ron and I were doing absolutely nothing for a period of time, and I just went into Facebook and kind of scrolled through and looked to see what everybody was up to. And one of the things I noticed, which is not very surprising, based on the fact that we had this Florida shooting recently where 17 people were killed at a high school. And of course, we've had a lot of mass shootings recently. You know, there was also the one in the church, the one in Las Vegas, and I'm sure I'm forgetting others that were recent, but those are the two other big recent ones that I remember. It's too bad we have so many mass shootings that I might be forgetting a recent one as I sit here and share with you, but that's the way it is right now in this country. So I went into Facebook, and I was just kind of looking to see what everybody was up to, and I noticed a lot of reposting of conversations about gun control, which absolutely makes sense under the current circumstances. But what was interesting when I scanned through the comments in gun control, and I'm sure that most of the people doing this really can't see it, they don't know it, but their comments were violent. You know, their comments were attacking the energy of it. Now, granted, these people aren't taking guns and they aren't, you know, going and shooting the congressional representatives or President Trump or anybody else. But the energy of their comments were violent. Now, if we remember that the universe is a Xerox machine and we are violent in our comments about gun control and about mass shootings. What do we get from that Xerox machine? More violence, right? It doesn't heal or fix anything. Not violent comments and violent thoughts. Yeah. Violent in our comment on violence. Yeah. And so, of course, people don't know this. But I do know this. I do. And so this is why I trust the universe. I trust that the universe is going to give whatever is asked. So the question is, the real question for me, and of course for everyone else listening, is what am I asking for? What am I desiring? Right? Where is my passion? And in order to really simplify this for you, you could say, and this is the way NTI teaches it, you could say that all of the time we are either asking for illusion or truth. We don't need to get down into the nitty-gritty details. You know, because people will, for example, get cancer and say, well, I didn't ask for cancer. And it's true, probably. You know, it's also maybe not true. Maybe they worried about cancer all of their life and they didn't perceive that as asking for it, but, you know, their thinking was there, right? But, you know, sometimes cancer shows up and it wasn't worried about, it wasn't thought about. So why would something like cancer show up in a Xerox universe? And the answer is, again, because we're either asking for illusion or truth, and cancer is illusion. So if we're asking for illusion, then cancer is one of the things that can show up. And, you know, we may be asking for illusion by thinking about money all of the time. Or thinking about, you know, trying to find the right romance all of the time. Or thinking about how other people perceive me, how to get other people to perceive me well all of the time. You know, wherever our desire is either with illusion or our desire is with truth. And if our desire is with illusion, we can trust the universe to respond in kind, which means illusion for illusion. But if our desire is for truth, then we can expect the universe to respond by giving us whatever we need to lead us to truth. So because the universe is a Xerox universe, I trust it, right? So the only thing I really have to pay attention to is what am I really asking for, illusion or truth? So let's go back and listen to the journal entry one more time. I said that I could trust this world because it is an illusion. I can trust an illusion because it is made by desire. If my desire is off, the illusion will be off. If my desire is clear, centered on the purpose of awakening and unwavering, the illusion's gifts and opportunities will be just as clear and focused. I can always trust the illusion to respond to my desire. Now, what is my desire? A couple examples of this. In November, I haven't really read a book. Not that I don't ever read anything, but I haven't really sat down and read a book as a part of my spiritual path in a very, very long time. But in November, I felt the guidance to read a book. And I didn't have any idea what I should read. I've gotten kind of bored with books. So I asked, you know, what should I read? And I heard Bernadette Roberts. And that led to me getting two books. One actually I already had on my shelf, but I hadn't read it. Just reading the first pages of it led me to order a second one of her books. So the two books that I read are What Are the Self and The Experience of No Self. somewhere along the line. Now, first of all, I just want to say these two books have greatly deepened my contemplation and greatly increased my desire for truth. And I can feel shifts occurring. You know, I can just feel the shifts occurring. I feel the movement happening. Now, somewhere along the line, when I was reading and contemplating these two books, I came across a name. I don't know if the name was in the books. Like, I don't remember if Bernadette Roberts mentioned the name or if I saw the name somewhere else. I mean, I really have no idea. But the name that I came across was Floyd Henderson. And I knew that I was deeply involved with Bernadette Roberts. I also knew that would be temporary. So I just made note of Floyd Henderson and finished Bernadette Roberts. And I'm not sure exactly when I finished Bernadette Roberts. I think sometime in January. And after I finished Bernadette Roberts, I looked up Floyd Henderson. And I ended up getting his book, The Advanced Seekers series. And it's just like, oh my God, it's just continuing the same type of contemplation that was occurring with Bernadette Roberts. But of course, his style is different. He's also alive. I think you may have heard Bernadette Roberts died 2 weeks after I heard the guidance to start reading her. So she's not here physically, but Floyd is. And so I've been able to have some email conversations with him. He's going to be here as our satsang guest in March. But the point is, things just show up. You know, whatever it is that you need. If your desire is for truth, what you need shows up. You don't have to go looking for it necessarily. You don't have to seek it. I mean, if you feel the guidance to walk through a bookstore, then walk through a bookstore, but everything will come to you, right? The Xerox universe will provide you with what you need. Assuming, again, that your desire is clear. Well, I guess, let me restate that, because the Xerox universe is going to provide you with whatever you desire, whether your desire is clear or not. But if you think that you want things that are going to move you towards awakening, then you need to make sure that your desire is clearly focused on that. And the universe will respond. You can trust that. You can trust the world because it is an illusion. So again, one more time, back at the journal entry. I said that I could trust this world because it is an illusion. I can trust an illusion because it is made by desire. If my desire is off, the illusion will be off. If my desire is clear, centered on the purpose of awakening and unwavering, the illusion's gifts and opportunities will be just as clear and focused. I can always trust the illusion to respond to my desire. Now, what is my desire? And that's 804A, so I'm moving to 804B. And before I begin reading 804B, I'm going to go back and read quote 804. This is Nisargadatta Maharaj from the Seven Steps to Awakening. Merely to trust is not enough. You must also desire. Without desire for freedom, of what use is the confidence that you can acquire freedom? Desire and confidence must go together. The stronger your desire, the easier comes the help. And of course, the story I just told was about help coming, right? All right, so let's look at 804B. As I began this contemplation of step four quotes, I noticed there was a desire for distraction. I can trust that to the degree I desire distraction, the opportunity for distraction will be given. What do I see when I look at that desire for distraction now? Is it reduced? Yes, it seems greatly reduced thanks to the marvelous contemplation that is occurring with step four. Now, I really remember this time period. I'm going to call it a rocky time period for me. I started communicating with Michael Langford on somewhat of a regular basis in the spring of 2015. And he taught me the loving consciousness method of meditation through email. That was before the book came out, How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. And I started practicing. I tried for an hour, but I think I ended up closer to 30 minutes a day. But for me, 30 minutes a day was a bonanza compared to before. So I started practicing in May, it seems like, based on my memory, right, which could be right or wrong. But it seems like in May of 2015, I started practicing. And it seems like at first I was pretty consistent in my practice. In fact, at that time, Danielle still lived here. My office was still out there in the middle of the house. And so I went and bought this screen that I was able to put up. So that when I was sitting behind the screen, people knew not to disturb me. Even if they were walking through, you know, they knew to leave me alone. And it seems like I was pretty consistent at first. Somewhere, and I don't remember exactly where, but somewhere along the line, before September, I started skipping a day and then skipping another day and then skipping another day. And when September came, I felt completely off kilter. I'm sure you guys have felt this too. You know, like I really just lost it. And so what I did, meditation was something I wanted to do because my intuition trusted the teachings of Michael Langford. But meditation did not inspire me like contemplation. And I think maybe what happened, and I don't know this for sure, I think maybe what happened was when my focus shifts to meditation, I dropped contemplation, and as a result, the inspiration also dropped. And so I wasn't able to hang on to the meditation. Does that make sense? So in September, when I really was noticing how off kilter I felt, I knew I needed to return to contemplation. I realized that meditation, I still felt, was a very, very important skill, a very, very important factor, paying attention to the self, closing the eyes, and practicing awareness, watching awareness, or loving consciousness. But I realized that my inspiration to do so came from contemplation. And so I needed to put contemplation back in my life. And I remember I was so off kilter when I started contemplating, when I picked up Seven Steps again. It had been put down for a long time. When I picked it up and started contemplating again, even the contemplation at first felt very, very rough. And I've even now, I've had, at least to me, I don't know how it sounded to those of you who are listening, but I feel like I've had trouble teaching this September and October 2015 journal, because even now I can look at it and I can see how off-center I was, I can just see it in the journal, and it's like, wow, how do I teach this? You know, how do I teach this stuff that really isn't my best inspiration? But what's happening now at this journal entry that we're looking at is I'm really starting to feel that I'm getting it back again, getting back in my center, getting back in that groove, getting back in that desire for truth, getting back in the heart. And the credit is coming from the fact that I put contemplation back in my life again. And now, to this day, I contemplate daily prior to meditation. Like I've just realized that contemplation is extremely important for me. Without it, the whole thing could fall into the wayside. So, again, this particular journal entry, as I began this contemplation of step four quotes, and that's where I picked up really was step four when I knew it was time to go back to contemplation. As I began this contemplation of step four quotes, I noticed there was a desire for distraction. I can trust that to the degree I desire distraction, the opportunity for distraction will be given. What do I see when I look at that desire for distraction now? Is it reduced? Yay! Yes! The answer is a genuine yes! It seems greatly reduced thanks to the marvelous contemplation that is occurring with step four. And again, for me, the credit doesn't go specifically to step four. I know step four is actually designed in order to help increase our desire. But for me, I could have been contemplating step one. It doesn't really matter. I could have been contemplating, just I am that. The point is that I'm contemplating. Right, that's what I have to do. I brought contemplation back into my life and my desire for truth is increasing. Therefore, my desire for distraction is decreasing. And again, what I recognize from this is that contemplation is important for me in order to keep that desire up. So going back and reading 804 in the Seven Steps to Awakening again. Merely to trust is not enough. You must also desire. Without desire for freedom, of what use is the confidence that you can acquire freedom? Desire and confidence must go together. The stronger your desire, the easier comes the help. All right, let's look at 804C from the journal. The Bible says at James 2:14-17, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. What this says to me is this. If I desire true awakening, if I desire self-realization, which is the final end of the ego and its dream, the illusion will provide gifts and opportunities to that end. If I truly have desire for this purpose, I will take full advantage of those gifts and opportunities. If I don't take full advantage of those gifts and opportunities, the desire for distraction is still present. So let's just imagine for a moment that in November of this year, when the guidance came to begin reading Bernadette Roberts, let's just imagine that I went out and bought the books and sat them on a table, but got up every morning and checked email and played in Facebook and, every evening watched TV and, do I even need to finish that example? So So that's what, to me, that's the interpretation of the scripture, faith without works is dead. It doesn't do any good to, I'll put it this way, believe in an awakening and not take any action in that direction. And let's just imagine that somebody here wants to go on the Italy pilgrimage. But you never bother to go to the website and fill out the registration form. You never send in your deposit. And you never, if you need to save, you never start saving for the trip. You know, before we know it, it's going to be October and everybody else is going to go to Italy and you're going to stay here, right? Because you may have wanted to go to Italy, you may have thought about going to Italy, you may have daydreamed about going to Italy, but you didn't take any action towards going to Italy. It looks like Jay's busted. He says, ugh, don't say that. Hey, you got to take action towards going to Italy, Jay. But the same is true here, right? Right, the same is true here. You have to take action towards awakening. You know, and for me, that action is meditation and contemplation, as well as living from the right mind instead of from the wrong mind. Right? That's what, to me, the Bible means by faith without action is dead. And of course, great desire, you are going to take that action. Whenever you really desire something, like if you, you know, aren't just daydreaming about Italy, but you really, really want to go to Italy, you are going to take those steps. You are going to fill out that registration form. You are going to send in your deposit. You are going to save the money so that you have it to pay for the trip when the time comes to pay in full, right? If you really, 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 really desire it, not just kind of want it. So, if we really, really desire awakening, it's not going to be a problem taking the necessary action. I mean, nobody has to force me in the morning. I mean, the only thing I do in the morning is go to the bathroom, get a cup of coffee, feed Jamie, and go directly to contemplation. And nobody has to force me to do that. You know, it's not like I sit down and turn on the TV and think, oh, I should be contemplating. Let me check email. Let me play in Facebook. Oh, I should be contemplating. You know, it's what I really, really want to do. It's where I really, really want to be. And so it's exactly directly where I go after the bathroom, a cup of coffee, and feeding Jamie. Yeah, Jay says, no one is forced to open Christmas gifts. You said that before, Jay. I remember once upon a time you coming up with that one. No one is forced to open Christmas presents, right? Because you really want to open them. Yeah. So let me look at this journal entry again. The Bible says at James 2:14-17, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. What this says to me is this. If I desire true awakening, if I desire self-realization, which is the final end of the ego and its dream, the illusion will provide gifts and opportunities to that end. If I truly have desire for this purpose, I will take full advantage of those gifts and opportunities. If I don't take full advantage of those gifts and opportunities, the desire for distraction is still present. I'm going to take a drink here. I desire a drink, so I'm going to take some action and take a drink. Good stuff. Again, we're looking at quote 804, which is a Nisargadatta Maharaj quote. Merely to trust is not enough. you must also desire. Without desire for freedom, of what use is the confidence that you can acquire freedom? Desire and confidence must go together. The stronger your desire, the easier comes the help. And also the stronger your desire, the easier comes the action, right? Because that's what you want to be doing. I know I talked recently about how I'm not crazy about the quotes that seem to point to self-control, you know, as if you have to force yourself to practice. I don't know that I would ever do that. If I didn't want to practice, I probably wouldn't practice. It's just that simple. So for me, the key is making sure I want to. And again, that's why, you know, that's why I went back to contemplation and have stuck with it ever since. I don't simply meditate. I contemplate and then meditate, because when I tried just meditation, it got too dry. And so contemplation invokes the love, invokes the desire, and then the meditation naturally follows. Jay says, some people are carrots people and some people are sticks people. There's probably a truth to that. You know, maybe, well, it must be true. It must be true that some people are motivated by those self-control quotes. Recently, when we were looking at that particular page, I think it was when we were looking at that page in the Michael Langford study group, the page that talked a lot about self-control, somebody started reading from Michael's book, Manonasa, and they read about the self-control that he had as a young man to not have sex. And how, you know, he did this. He did this because he really wanted truth so much and he didn't want any distractions. You know, it's funny because I hear two ways to hear that story. One way I hear to hear that story is to really focus on the fact that, you know, Michael talks about how attractive, you know, women looked and how difficult it is for a young man, you know, between the ages of like 20 and 30 or something like that, how much that man, you know, craves to have sex and how difficult it is and how much control it took. And, you know, and some people could really focus on that control and maybe be motivated by it. That would never motivate me. But I hear something else in the exact same story. When I hear the story, I also hear Michael talking about how he contemplated the masters who must have gone through the same thing. And if they could do it, he could do it. And what I hear in that is actually a love. I hear, you know, I hear I want very much to have no distractions and to pour myself completely into the practice that brings self-realization, just like the masters did. Now that I can connect with. I can connect with the love. I can connect with the I want to. I can't connect with the you have to. But maybe I'm just a carrot person. But as a carrot person, my recommendation would be find out what makes you want truth, right? You know, one of Michael Langford's recommendations, which I tried for a time, but again, it wasn't my thing, although I think it's a great recommendation. One thing that Michael recommends is listening to inspirational music. And because Michael recommended that, and because, you know, I really love and respect Michael, I did that. I would try listening to inspirational music before going into meditation. And you know what I felt like? Now, I'm talking about this person. I felt like I was wasting time. I'd listen to one song and then two songs and then three songs. And I wasn't feeling that love and desire. And I was wasting 15 minutes listening to songs, you know, 30 minutes listening to songs. But again, with contemplation, with contemplation, when I go into the contemplation, sometimes I look up. You know, I had the intention of reading and contemplating for half an hour. Sometimes I look up and an hour went by and, I didn't even know it. And my heart's completely blown open. And all I can do when the contemplation is done is put the book down and close my eyes. You know, maybe if I have to go to the bathroom, I'll go to the bathroom first because I don't want that to disturb the meditation. But then I come right back and I close my eyes. It's like the natural next step, and I don't feel like any time is wasted. Now, maybe for somebody else, practicing reading and contemplating would feel like a waste of time. But all they have to do is listen to a song or two. And they're like, whoa, I'm ready. You know, let me close my eyes. You know, so each person has to find what motivates them, I feel. That's what's important, is the motivation, not the specific action, whether it's contemplation or listening to music or prayer or just sitting outside and watching the sunrise or, whatever else it might be. What's important is that it genuinely motivates you. And when you close your eyes, you're closing your eyes with an open heart, and you're closing your eyes because that's exactly what you want to do. At least that's how this carrot sees it. And maybe that's how Nisargadatta Maharaj sees it, because again, listen to the quote. Merely to trust is not enough. You must also desire. Without desire for freedom, of what use is the confidence that you can acquire freedom? Desire and confidence must go together. The stronger your desire, the easier comes the help. Right? He doesn't say the strongest your guilt complex, the better. How guilty do you feel because you aren't meditating long every day or not long enough every day? He doesn't say that's it. The guiltier you are, the better. He says the stronger your desire. And to me, desire represents wanting, which represents open heart, which represents love, right? Desire. So maybe Nisargadatta was a carrot guy too. D in the journal says, we can all trust that we will awaken someday. Awakening is inevitable. However, the question that I was guided to ask through the contemplation of the step 4 quotes wasn't, do I want to awaken someday? The question I was guided to ask myself is, do I want awakening now? If I want a snack now, I get up and get one. If I want awakening now, then now I am engaged in an awakening practice. You know, just like a moment ago, I was thirsty and I wanted a drink. What did I do? I picked up the cup and I took a drink. Kathy says she doesn't get the carrot and sticks reference. I'm not sure where I saw this. You know, maybe it was in a psychology class, maybe it was on a cartoon, I don't know where. But I've been aware of the carrot and sticks reference for a long time. With the carrot reference, in order to get a donkey, in the image I saw it was a donkey. In order to get the donkey to go somewhere, you hold a carrot in front of the donkey and you say, come on donkey, and the donkey follows the carrot, right? Because he wants the carrot and he'll go where you want him to go. Or the other option is to beat the hell out of the donkey and say, go on donkey, right? And force the donkey to go where you want him to go. So that's it, the carrot and the stick. And so when I say I'm a carrot person, that means I'd rather be enticed than forced. Yeah, motivated by pain or by loving desire. Yeah, that's it, Ron. Hey, Ron, nice to see you. Yeah, so that's the carrot and sticks reference. All right, I'm gonna go back. Are you a carrot too, Ron? Carrot guy? All right, so I'm gonna go back and look at this journal entry again. Oh, 50-50, half carrot, half stick, huh? You need a carrot and a slap every now and then. All right, here's 804D again. We can all trust that we will awaken someday. Awakening is inevitable. However, the question that I was guided to ask through the contemplation of the step four quotes wasn't, do I want to awaken someday? The question I was guided to ask myself is, do I want awakening now? If I want a snack now, I get up and get one. If I want awakening now, then now I am engaged in an awakening practice. So I guess my question is, if any of you guys decide you want a snack, does anybody have to beat you to get out of the recliner for you to go get that snack, or do you just get up and get it, right, because you want it? No, Kathy says. You know, nobody has to beat her and make her get out of the chair and go get her snack. Exactly. I mean, exactly. So if we want awakening, nobody has to beat us to engage in our awakening practice, which for me is contemplation and meditation, right? We do it because we want to do it, because there's no place else we'd rather be. I was talking to Ron either yesterday or today, and we got into a conversation about retirement. And I said, you know, what I want to do, because of course you guys know right now I'm not using our gym in our house because I am contemplating and meditating, and then I do have to get to work and there isn't time for everything. So I'm not using the gym. So I told Ron, I said, well, what I want to do is I want to be able to have all the time I want for my contemplation and meditation and then still have time to use the gym. And then eat lunch and take a walk. I mean, that's what I want to do. I want to contemplate, meditate, work out, and walk. I can't think of anything else. You know, that's it. It's just, there's not enough time for all that right now, so Jim had to get left out of it. But see, that's what I want. Notice I didn't say, oh, I want to retire and never have to contemplate and meditate again. Right? That's what I want. Yeah, sounds heavenly. All right, we have 5 minutes left, and there's an 804E, so why don't we have a look at, oh, there's an 804F too. We'll see if we finish this. Here's 804E. NTI Philippians says, the way you operate in the world is a reflection of your faith. What is it you find yourself doing? Why are you doing it? Is that action evidence that your faith is placed with your motive, or are you finding that you have placed your faith elsewhere? I will watch to see what I discover. Self-honesty and clear seeing without judgment are of the utmost importance if I want to ensure my desire is clear, centered on the purpose of awakening, and unwavering. So, you know, what I want to do, want, hear the word want. What I want to do on the day that I wrote this was I want to pay attention to myself without judgment and see if I am really putting my action where I think my desire is, or am I still wasting 4 hours a day watching TV or playing in Facebook, You know, I want to look and see. I want to be self-honest with myself. And again, this isn't about forcing. This isn't about, oh, if I'm, you know, watching too much TV, if I'm playing in Facebook too much, then I got to have more forced control. This is about remembering in my heart what I want and noticing if I'm in alignment with my heart or not. And I think if I remember correctly, what I found out is I wasn't as aligned as I wanted to be. And I found that one of my weaknesses, and it's still my weakness, it remains my weakness, one of my weaknesses, when I get tired, I waste time. And also, I tend to be more of a morning and day person, not much of an evening person. So in the evening time, I would get tired. And instead of, spending time in contemplation or meditation, I would turn on the TV. I think Michael Langford said he had that same problem for a while. When he got tired, he would turn on the TV. That happened to me. So I made some changes in my life. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but every evening that the sanctuary is open, Regina's in there teaching. Because teaching in the sanctuary is an out loud contemplation. And so I come into the sanctuary and I teach in the evening, instead of going upstairs and turning on the TV. You see how that works? I chose that. It's a more effective use of my time. I'm in here Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Those are the four evenings that were open. So I found a way that works for me. You have to find a way that works for you. And it looks like we may not have time to get to 804F. Let me just read 804E again, and then we'll continue 804 next week. NTI Philippians says, the way you operate in the world is a reflection of your faith. What is it you find yourself doing? Why are you doing it? Is that action evidence that your faith is placed with your motive? Or are you finding that you have placed your faith elsewhere? I will watch to see what I discover. Self-honesty and clear seeing without judgment are of the utmost importance if I want to ensure my desire is clear, centered on the purpose of awakening and unwavering. And with that said, it is time for me to drop the mic. Thanks for hanging out with me, you guys, and bye-bye.